pure hooey.
That's how more than one of you felt about an interview we did this week. And seeing as it's Thursday, we thought we'd dip into our mailbag and share some of your comments.
That hooey comment comes from Elizabeth Pike in Northampton, Massachusetts. And her indignation is in response to an interview with the editor-in-chief of National Geographic about that August magazine's decision to publish a swimsuit edition. This is about the exploitation of women and using their naked bodies to sell copy and push merchandise, Ms. Pike writes. It is beneath the dignity of women. It used to be beneath the dignity of National Geographic. Apparently, it isn't any longer.
David Sheridan in Slingerlands, New York, is equally miffed about the story, albeit for a different reason. Mr. Sheridan explains, "When my friends and I were wrestling with puberty, circa 1960, National Geographic was an important resource. We studied pieces on sub-Saharan Africa, equatorial South America, and the Pacific Islands for vital information on, naked women. I am shocked and dismayed that the National Geographic now requires women to don swimsuits before being photographed."
Now a cliché. When the U.S. sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. Our ode to that cliché and its many variations provoked former history teacher Lori Burnett in New York City to chide us on one glaring omission, the original source of the metaphor.
According to Ms. Burnett, it was one Prince Metternich in 1830, and the original was, "When Paris sneezes, Europe catches cold." The prince was referring to the liberal revolution in France that year, which finally overthrew the conservative old regime that had been reinstalled after the defeat of France in the Napoleonic Wars. Ms. Burnett continues, "No friend of the common man, Metternich's fears proved true. The 1830 revolution in France did in fact herald a wave of democratic revolutions in Europe, which culminated in 1848 and led to widely expanded suffrage by the end of the century."
My interview with David Moss Masumoto about the glories of the peach left Zari Ann Kahlo Kiesler of Union County, Illinois, with a hankering for peach cobbler.
But, she writes, "I actually felt somewhat sorry for Ms. Norris when she commented about going to the store to purchase peaches. Here we simply drive to one of the various orchards and take in the aroma and visual pleasures of the varieties of peaches available that week. I have spoiled my parents and friends who live north of Chicago with these delicious gifts of the region. During the summer months, when I drive the 6 hours for a visit, I am required to bring my children and peaches, or else don't bother coming."
Finally, we got loads of mail responding to our segment on the State of the Union drinking game. Two seniors started it last year at Princeton. The rules require players to sip every time the president hits a key phrase, such as tax cuts, regime change, or weapons of mass destruction.
Many of you wrote to share fond memories of similar silliness in college, but Greg Jacques of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, was not alone in judging the game no laughing matter. "Most college students are under the legal drinking age, and it is estimated that one college student dies every weekend from alcohol poisoning," he writes. "For NPR to give such cavalier coverage of college drinking and to give any credence to a game originated by a student at Princeton or any other institution of higher learning makes me ill."
David Valley of Guilford, Connecticut, agrees and proposes that next year's players switch the penalty to something presidential but non-alcohol-based. Perhaps, he suggests, pretzels.